You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Me and you, we're both guys, so we are the least qualified people in the world to talk about this subject. But even me as a guy know that the wedding dress of the bride is quite an important thing.
Yep, typically they're white, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's so far, in my experience, that's the colour scheme.
Mm-hmm, same here.
Mm.
Traditionally as well, the dress of the bride is at times more important than the husband.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
It is a very important thing. You don't want to mess it up.
I love the at times.
Like, well, you know.
You know, it's not the be-all and end-all, but
it's close.
In a singular moment, and at times, it is.
Well, Simo, a woman in Minnesota has gone viral after she found out that the wedding dress that she was wearing on a wedding day 14 years ago was not actually hers.
What do you mean?
So she got married in this dress at the time. Obviously, didn't realise.
Oh, so she's picked up the wrong one from the shop.
Well, I mean, I guess so. It's unclear how this happened. So she got married at the time, didn't realise that it wasn't her dress. And then 14 years later, wanted to kind of reminisce about the day, special day. So had got the box where the wedding dress was kept, opened the box to discover that that wasn't actually the dress that she ordered.
Okay, right. So she didn't realise it even though she wore it?
It seems like it, yeah.
Well, it's a high-stress environment, a wedding.
Yeah.
Like a jump shot in basketball with the shot clock counting down with 3 seconds left.
Nowhere near as stressful.
It's stressful, but it's no wedding.
She has said, this woman, it is a beautiful dress, the one that she's got. It's just not hers.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's unclear whether she... I guess the store would have made a mistake, I guess.
Yeah, everyone's very heightened, very stressful, very tense. Because I ended up taking a responsibility on at a wedding recently where I was like, ugh, I was not happy and I was very tense.
Mm.
So mistakes can be made in those environments.
Well, Simo, 14 years, is that too long to maybe call back the company and say...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way...
Yeah.
You gave me the wrong dress.
Nah, 14 years. I think, what's the, what's it called? Is it the statute of limitations?
I think that's if you do something illegal. That version of giving you the wrong dress, whatever that was, I think I know what you're talking about.
And I don't think it's a statue either.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
but recently, another stressful, just as another example, I had to move the wedding cake recently from one space to another.
You are so on your own with that job.
Oh, it is. No one wants to go near it.
Can someone give me a hand with this? Was it like one of the big, like, three-tier wedding
cakes?
Yes,
and I just happened to be sober, which is why the responsibility fell on me. Ah.
No offense to you, but a Simo sober or someone a little bit drunk moving something that fragile?
Yeah.
I know which one I'm going for.
It's like, that's... By suggesting that I'm going to be more responsible with the cake is just going to turn me to drinking, effectively. But they're high stress environments, so I'm not surprised that that some awkward and stressful situations end up with mistakes like that.
Yeah, and mistakes that get found 14 years later.
Yeah,
when you're reminiscing and you hang on a second, that's not my dress.
Did she check her husband as well?
check that she got the right husband.
Yeah, just was he.
Yeah, hopefully that was right.
Was he wearing?
Oh, your name's Dwayne. Sorry, I met a guy called James. What have you been doing here the last 14 years?
Completely wrong wedding.
Simo and Jordan.
And we have another new record holder, Jordan.
Oh, exciting.
I know, it's glorious. You know me, I'm a massive fan of the old records. Actually, we normally do this, right?
Oh, I feel like a champion.
This guy, he has the record for reaching the lowest singing note, if you like.
Okay.
So he can sing at the very, very, very low.
Well, I'm kind of trying to think. So what are famous singers that sing very low? Like Barry White-esque?
Oh, yes.
Is that what we're talking about?
It is Barry White-esque.
All right.
Very good shout.
Thank you.
So he hit the world's lowest note produced by a human. His name's Tim Storms.
Oh.
What a... What a name.
I know.
For polite singing low notes. And now we welcome Tim Storms.
You just imagine the stage. And please put your hands together for Tim Storms.
And here he is talking about how low he can sing.
My lowest note would be somewhere around it. If you were to take another piano and sit on the bottom, on the left side of a piano, that would be about how low I can go. 8 octaves lower than the lowest G on the piano.
He sounds like a lot of fun at parties.
Is that his, like, natural talking voice?
Yeah. Yeah, he's very relaxed. Don't you just feel relaxed listening to that? I just felt my shoulders drop.
Not going to lie, no offense to him. Did feel kind of bored listening to that.
That's, I mean, you're not inviting him out to dinner anywhere.
I mean, I'm sure Tim Storms is a wonderful man. But gee, and, I mean, we're only taking that 10-second audio clip as, like, his whole personality.
Yeah.
But if that is his entire personality, jeez.
So as an 8-year-old, people realised he could sing pretty low and his voice kept on dropping.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth mentioning, so this lowest note produced by a human is actually, like, you can't hear it as a human being. Like, it's at a frequency that a human ear can't detect. So Storms himself says that you can't hear him do the G-7 note.
He's Hang on then.
He's able to hit, but he claims he can sort of feel it.
Well, how did they test it? Oh, did they get a whole... Because, like, dogs can hear, like, high-pitched sounds.
That's
Is it the same?
Yeah.
They can hear low-pitched sounds as well?
Yeah, so special equipment was used to test his deep voice and confirm that he can indeed reach inaudible frequencies.
Okay, because I was going to say, thank God we have some specialist equipment, otherwise I would just claim this record.
But imagine that, being able to effectively make a sound that people can't hear.
Well, I mean, anyone can do that. You just don't make a sound.
Yeah, but you're not making a sound. He actually is.
Here, Simo, I'll sing the lowest note. I'm about to break the world record.
Yeah.
I will sing the lowest note. You won't be able to hear it.
Okay.
But I will do it. This is my party piece. All right, you ready?
Yeah, go for it. Wow.
Yeah, see, that was good. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, come on.
Sign me up, Guinness.
Come on, it is pretty cool to be able to.
Well, I mean, it's if he goes to parties, if this bloke ever gets invited to parties, it's like a rubbish party piece.
Yeah, but
because, like, everyone else is going, oh, I can juggle 3 flaming chainsaws or something. It's like, I can sing the lowest note. Oh, really? Yeah, do it. Oh, we can't hear it. Oh, okay.
What I'm saying
is, back to chainsaw guy.
There's a big difference between making no noise and making noise that no one can hear.
There's not much of a difference.
In space, no one can hear you scream. On planet Earth, Tim Storms, no one can hear him sing. Would you like to hear him, by the way?
What, him singing?
Yeah, I've got him here.
Well, we won't be able to hear it.
Oh, it's okay. He raises it a little bit.
Oh, okay.
It's not the lowest he can go.
Oh, thank you, Tim. Hello. Does he have some kind of frog?
Oh, dear. Thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah, but...
What's the other saying? It's like, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, did it really happen?
Mm.
If Tim Storms sings a low note...
And no one can hear it.
Did it really happen?
My money's on no.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, now, Simo, quick word association.
Yes.
Tell me the first 3 things that spring to mind when I tell you the country Belgium.
Oh, waffles, Kevin De Bruyne, and beer.
Simo, I hate to break it to you, but you failed.
Damn it. I feel like waffles were a good shout.
Waffles were a good shout. Same with Kevin De Bruyne, the soccer player.
Yeah.
And beer. I mean, admittedly, those things are from Belgium. However,
yes.
You've missed one big news item out of Belgium, which is making news right now.
Okay.
Wallaby.
All right. So, in my experience, they're native to Australia, right?
In my experience, they're native to Australia too. But I hate to break it to you, but my and your experiences... Wrong.
Okay, what's the go?
An escaped wallaby has been seen hopping through the Belgium city of Genk.
Okay, yes, Genk. Mm-hmm.
You say that is it? Yeah, can confirm that is a town. Yes.
Well, I know that
he's not making it up.
I know that they're a soccer team. That's all. I know they're a soccer team in Belgium. So
also, breaking news: there's a wallaby hopping through Manchester United.
So, is it just one wallaby?
Yes, it's one rogue wallaby. Now, I can say that the wallaby has been safely captured.
Okay,
which is great news. However, it was spotted around the city of Genk and was chased around the city by police and the Nature Help Centre for about 2 hours as they were trying to capture the animal in question.
It was on a waffle and beer pub crawl.
I mean, perhaps. Mm. Perhaps it's unconfirmed.
Yep.
But, yes, just imagine that you're wandering. You're a local Belgian person.
Yeah.
You're just having your... going about your normal Belgian life.
Oh, yeah, having a waffle and a beer in the morning.
Just playing up to stereotypes, as you do.
Yep.
And then just... you're casually wandering through your town city centre.
Mm.
And then you see a wallaby.
Yes. Now, it would definitely be out of the box. For some.
Yeah, in more ways, the wallaby is also out of a box because it's escaped. It's loose. It's on the run.
We need that box back.
Yes. Someone put a lid on the box.
No, I'm more familiar with wallabies because my grandfather used to keep them out the back of his house.
Oh, was he from Belgium?
No, but he loved a waffle. But so they must have an enclosure of a whole bunch of them, I assume.
Well, that's the thing. I was trying to find out where this wallaby has come from, and it's a bit kind of... it's not clear.
Yeah, right.
And maybe I'm reading too much into it, reading between lines, all that sort of stuff. All we know is what it said in the article, which I'm quoting. The wallaby's owner is known to the Nature Help Centre officials, and the animal was safely returned to its enclosure.
Oh, right.
So okay. I don't know whether it's some kind of zoo, some kind of bloke in Belgium that just has wallabies in his backyard. I don't know.
Because we had another animal escape last week. We discussed the fact that there was a... was it a chimp that escaped Sydney Zoo?
Yeah.
And then just gave up
and went back. His...
so I feel like maybe does that mean that wallabies are a little braver, a little bit more go-getting in life?
Mm.
They've been listening to, you know, some self-improvement podcasts. They're ready to hop out and make something of it for themselves.
I mean, perhaps.
Yeah, I think they might be a little bit more self-improved as opposed to the chimp really not wanting to take on life.
Mm. Or maybe it was just sick of eating, I don't know, whatever that it got and just thought, I fancy some waffles and chocolate, actually. I might just go for a little hop through town.
What do they eat, Jordan? Any ideas? I've fed a wallaby, mate.
Food? Grass?
Yeah, you can go carrots.
Carrots?
That's it.
So yeah, I was about to say that.
On the lookout for a Belgian carrot.
It was just hopping through its local. Oh, those carrots are discounted. Might pop in there later.
Simo and Jordan.
And now to your favourite Subway, Jordan. Talk us through your favourite Subway sandwich.
Oh.
Yeah, what are you... I'm a BLT, I believe.
You see, your favourite sandwiches is a loaded question.
Yeah.
I mean, what time of day? Am I hungover? Oh. Am I not? Is it lunch? Is it dinner? How am I feeling?
You have a varied thing when you walk through those doors.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm the straight up the same.
Do you go this? No, I like to mix it up. I like to eat fresh.
Crazy, man.
To quote Subway's tagline.
Did you see this story that broke over the last 24 or 48 hours regarding the... regarding the tuna in the Subway sandwich.
Yeah, tuna is one that I don't go.
No. Why would you? If you're going to eat tuna, you can get it in a can.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably fine to eat as well at Subway.
Yeah, but if you're going to get tuna, who orders tuna out?
Well, okay, that's a good point. I don't know anyone who does.
Correct.
But, I mean, maybe there are some tuna enthusiasts who do like the tuna sandwich. It's not my cup of tea.
Okay. Tuna enthusiasts, if you exist, give us a buzz. But...
yes, we'd like to ask why.
I dare say there's none of you. So those that are into the tuna, I feel like just get the can. You know, it's not a social food. You can have it at home. When you eat out, get something else.
But what? So something happened with the tuna at Subway.
Here it is.
The sandwich chain Subway fighting back this morning against claims that its tuna sandwiches don't actually have any tuna. Two California residents sued the restaurant chain, claiming that an independent test of the ingredients revealed that the sandwiches are made from, quote, anything but tuna. Subway denies the claim, saying, quote, there simply is no truth to the allegations. The company says it delivers 100% cooked tuna to its restaurant.
Thoughts, Jordan?
Well, I mean, you said don't eat tuna because it's a sociable food.
Yeah.
Maybe if the tuna in Subway doesn't actually have any tuna in, it can become a sociable food. I have noticed it doesn't smell, because like tuna, it's got a very distinct smell, doesn't it? When you open the can.
Yeah.
Like if someone in the office has it, everyone knows.
Yeah, well, there's one particular person in the office that cranks at the tuna quite often.
Who shall remain unnamed.
Yeah. Didn't you just send her out of the building for toothpaste?
Yes. But if you go into like a Subway shop or something, it doesn't have that smell.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know what? So maybe, I mean, I don't want to get into a legal case or anything like that.
Yeah, wait in there.
I mean, maybe it's probably just fake.
Yeah, I think you could be onto something there. Like they've thought ahead to the prospects of, oh, hell, it's not a social food. We want to encourage more people to come to our restaurant.
Mm.
We can't put tuna on the menu, but people might want to order tuna. So we'll...
Well, maybe it is real. Let's assume that it is real tuna.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe that's why they bake their bread and do the cookies and stuff like that.
Oh!
Just to get the smell.
Mask the scent.
Mask the scent of the tuna.
Are you saying the cookies are classic misdirection?
I mean, they're a delicious misdirection. Put it that way.
Nice. Would you want to have a guess at what the damages are in there, what they're trying to claim for?
So what, for this law?
For the lawsuit, how much do you reckon damages these people have? They had a tuna sandwich and they went home, independently tested it and said that, you know, that's not tuna.
Mm.
How much do you reckon that they should get? How much are Subway liable for?
Well, I think that news reporter said $5
million. $5 million, yeah.
Before?
Mm-hmm.
That seems quite a lot.
It's, oh man. Anyway.
So is this ongoing? Do we have a result? Or?
Nope. Long story short, you shouldn't have been ordering tuna in the first place that's my advice.
Lawsuit aside.
The plaintiff raises numerous legal causes, including misrepresentation, that they find the sandwich was fraudulent, negligent, unjust enrichment, deceptive business practices, mislabeling and misbranding.
Gee, anything else?
I think they opened to page one in the...
they found that the sandwich insulted them as well. The sandwich called them the F word and then they got to sue.
They got a Subway sandwich that they were unhappy with. Then they opened the guide to law. We looked at page four.
And they did a 5-year law degree. Just, I'm gonna get my own back.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Hey, Simo, a random question, but it will make sense.
Yes.
Are you familiar at all with the, I don't know whether it's a religion or a cult, but the kind of Satanism world?
Isn't it the occult?
I don't know. I guess so.
Yeah, deep and dark magics and upside down crosses and vampire.
It's all that sort of stuff. They kind of worship the devil. It's all this kind of weird stuff that you feel really should be in a Louis Theroux documentary.
I nearly said vampire horns, but they don't have horns, do they? And some other creature.
I don't know. Maybe they do.
Yeah.
Anyway, this whole Satanism, this whole cult has made news recently after two families have requested that their children be taught Satanic religious instructions in Queensland public schools.
Wow.
They're now pushing for more families to follow suit. They kind of got a bit of a petition type thing going.
Awesome.
To try and get more families on board. So, you know, you'll Queensland public schools, there'll be like maths, English. Oh, what do you have after lunch? Oh, I got double Satanism.
Yeah, there's no way you'd blow off that class, though. You wouldn't be skipping that one.
You'd be terrified of the teacher.
No, I reckon I'd be interested, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think I'd be interested. I'm not going to lie.
I love it. I reckon that's really cool because previously when I went to school, they had the... did you have to do a self-defense class or program? Rock and water? Did you have to do that one?
I think we did. I think we did some... It was like one day after lunch, they kind of learned as taekwondo or something like that.
That's cool. So instead of self-defense, now you're doing like... mystical defense. Mm. Defense against the dark arts. That's going to end badly for that teacher.
I feel I should say as well, before when I said I'm interested in this, I'm interested in finding out about it.
Yeah.
And finding out more and kind of looking at it and going, gee, that's weird.
No.
I'm not interested in joining at all.
No, I love the supernatural. Not when it happens to me, but big fan of the whole thing.
Okay, I'm a bit worried now.
What do you got?
Well, Simo, because one thing I don't know that much about Satanism, but one thing I do know is that one of their teachings is that you should learn to understand the human language when spoken backwards.
Oh, really?
So basically, we're having this conversation here.
Yes.
From what I understand, and this could be wrong, but from what I understand, someone who studies Satanism would be able to, as well as understanding it as we speak forwards now, would be able to, in their head, flip it and understand it backwards. So that if we were throwing in some weird message...
So all this time, Mary Poppins was an occultist.
Can Mary Poppins understand backwards?
Yeah. She does supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I don't remember that bit in the movie.
She does supercalifragilisticexpialidocious backwards.
Oh, she says
backwards.
That one word, expiala, whatever it is.
Docious alia expia
supercalif... Yeah, we know you can do it. You bring it up every day. But it's just because that one word, I don't think Mary Poppins is Satanism.
I think that could be evidence. Mounting evidence, because she also can fly.
That's a good point, actually.
And she's got a bag that fits more in than is physically possible.
Okay, breaking news. Mary Poppins is Satanism.
You laugh it off to begin with, but then you think.
I know.
Yeah, and then she also disappears into the pavement, into a mystical...
Stop ruining Mary Poppins for me!
She also goes into this whole other world of chalk drawings.
Stop ruining Mary Poppins.
She probably is.
Well, Simo, the whole understanding messages backwards thing.
Yeah.
There's a big thing, like, in music, there's, like... weird, like, backwards satanic messages.
Yeah.
Like, Stairway to Heaven is the most famous one.
Musicians are really into it. Like, the lead singer of Arctic Monkeys, he can speak backwards.
He can
do full sentences backwards, yeah.
Can he? Yep. I was a fan of Arctic Monkeys. I'm a bit scared of them now.
You're worried.
But, Simo, I was having a look through, and it's kind of weird because there's... As well as, like, listening to messages in normal music backwards, they've got their own, like, the whole satanic kind of music.
Yeah, right.
Which has satanic messages in when played forwards.
Yeah.
We've got a bit of an example of one here. This is a song from Slayer, I think the band's called.
Oh, gosh. All right. Take a deep breath. Be ready to rock. Your life worth human mice for the
engine of doubt. 400,000 more to die. All right. I don't know. Something about dying. Something like that.
Something, yeah.
But, Simo, what happens, it's really weird. If you play it backwards, it reveals a satanic message.
Okay.
Hot potato, hot potato.
It's hot so potato, weird.
Ah, dear. Underrated hot joke. Potato,
potato. Thank you. Potato. Took the day off when I thought of that.
Well done. Potato,
potato. Anyway, Satanism supposedly being taught in Queensland schools. I don't know if it will. Probably not.
So if this is being taught in schools, right, does that mean that then next time you've been taking your 5 and 6 year old and you take them to the Wiggles, that they're able to enjoy the band Slayer?
If the Wiggles reveal their next tour and there are no Queensland dates, we know why.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.